Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop and your phone calls right here on New Life Live. Glad you're with us today.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. We're glad that you've joined us today. Good to see you, Dave.
Well, good to be here, as always.
And good to see you, Mylon.
Thank you, Steve.
Now, we should warn people that the three of us, we do something that is not frequent on the program.
What's that?
We disagree with each other, and we're comfortable enough to, you know, nag
at
each
fun.
Other. We love it. And so don't be disturbed if we take a different angle on something.
Well, that just gives you more options to understand.
Yeah, you can just agree with whoever you want to agree with.
Yeah.
Well, it also points to...
Of course, I'm right. But
yeah, right, exactly.
It, of course, points to a concern that fits so many people out there, the ability to tolerate difference.
Yeah.
A lot of couples, a lot of people, a lot of parents get into trouble if they can't tolerate difference.
Right.
We can tolerate some difference. Yeah. Well, I haven't stomped out of the studio recently, but you know, we can usually tolerate difference.
Well, you can hear it in our voice. None of us get anxious at something other than, oh wow, I really agree with you. Although we do that too, but we don't.
It's kind of nice when we don't, because
I like it better.
I think too, as we talk it through, we aren't that far apart by the time we're done.
No, that's right. You know, one of the things we have at New Life, and all of us understand the importance of this, is an alcohol and drug treatment center. And, you know, it's not just the addiction that gets treated. It's the faith that gets renewed there. And if you have somebody in your family that's struggling, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Most of the time, an addict doesn't just wake up and go, oh, I think I'll get well today.
No.
Takes some pressure. You had a...
Well, I just want to remind our listeners that we're working on a project. And if you are in recovery from alcohol, drugs, sex addiction, eating, we need your story.
Yeah, or even recovery from depression.
Yeah.
We need your story.
We need your story. And you can email it to Steve.
Me. And my email address is S-A-R-T-E-R-B-U-R-N, S-Arterburn, @newlife.com. That's my email. I put it in all my books. So please write it down and email us your story.
Make it
can be a
page, couple pages long.
Two pages. Whatever.
Don't worry about how it looks, because we have people who will edit it and make it look wonderful.
Okay.
And we'll just use your first name.
Yeah, that's right. S. Arterburn @newlife.com. A-R-T-E-R-B-U-R-N.
And so what's the project?
Well, we're doing this Life Recovery Big Book.
We've got the Bible. It doesn't have an accompanying text book with it. And so, you know, AA has
they have their big
book. And so we thought, well, let's do it. We may not name it Big Book.
No, that's just kind of the...
Might be the Book of Serenity or something like that.
But
anyway.
It's got expanded the information on the steps. It's got four Bible studies on each step. And it'll have stories related to
testimonies.
Testimonies.
Well, that's fabulous.
Recovery stories.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. By the way, if you're recovering and you don't have a Life Recovery Bible, then you're missing the joy of knowing how each step integrates with Scripture. Remember, one of the founders, Dr. Bob, said, we got these steps from the book of James, from 1 Corinthians 13, and the Sermon on the Mount. That's where we got these steps from. Right out of Scripture. He said, from the good book. And that's the Bible. So just call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Say, I'd like one of them their Bibles, and we'll get it to you. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today on New Life.
You You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. Let's go to Jennifer. She's calling us, listens on WORD in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hello, Jennifer. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. What is on your mind today?
What is on my mind is my husband drinks on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it pretty much every weekend.
Yeah.
He doesn't get, like, drunk, like, goofy or anything like that. But I think, in my opinion, it's sort of, well, I don't drink at all. So when I look at him, I'm like, oh, well, you drink every weekend, and that seems like a problem to me. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he would do that.
Yeah.
And
What do you mean when you say he drinks on the weekend? Tell me about his drinking on the weekend.
He drinks Friday, Saturday.
Okay, but when? Like, he comes home from work and he...
He comes home from work and he drinks.
What does he drink? He drinks
beer.
A beer?
How many?
5, 6, before, 7.
On Friday night.
On
Friday night.
And then tell me about Saturday. When does he start drinking Saturday?
Probably he'll do it in the afternoon, or if he's busy, then he'll wait and do it later in the evening.
How much then?
Probably the same.
About the same? Okay.
Yeah, maybe 5, 6, 7. If he starts earlier, maybe he could get up to 8.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
And then Sunday, the holy day for church, how much then?
Probably almost the same. And sometimes he doesn't. Most of the time he does.
Though. Yeah, the reason that he sometimes does and doesn't is that we would call him a controlled drinking alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
See, your body's not meant, there's not a little keg in there that's putting out 7 beers worth of alcohol. It's not meant for 7 beers in a day.
Well, and the other thing, too, is there's a lot of people who couldn't do that.
Yeah, most people, after a couple of beers...
After 2 beers, they've had enough.
They would either fall asleep, they would get too drunk to drink anymore, or they would get sick. So, you see, they have a limiting mechanism. But when a person doesn't have that limiting mechanism, people even describe their drinking as, wow, you have a gift. You can really
hold
your alcohol.
Yeah.
But it's addictive. And here's the other thing is, there is no way you're going to tell me he's the same man on Friday with 7 beers in him as he is on Wednesday with no beer in him. He's different.
I'm not going to say exactly the same. I'm going to say maybe...
just a little different.
Well, here's what I'm saying. On Wednesday,
he might be a little bit looser, but he's not like.
No, that's what I'm saying. On Wednesday,
out of control.
On Wednesday, though, he's uptight, and he's more easily frustrated. Would you agree with that?
No.
No. Okay. Well, I could be wrong.
No, not really.
But anyway, let's go back to alcoholics. This is an amazing fact. Alcoholics drink a lot of alcohol when they drink. Non-alcoholics don't drink much when they drink. It's just that simple. And in the Bible where it says, don't do anything that would cause your neighbor to stumble, If there was ever a stumbling block, it was when somebody was drinking so much that his wife said, I don't think this is right. Now, that's a stumbling block to you. So that's that case where I say it's time for you guys to do something with your relationship that might lead to him doing something with his weekend binges that he goes on as a controlled drinking alcoholic.
Okay. Something like...
But good luck, because this is going to be tough for him to give up his friend. He looks forward to being with his friend. He's got 4 evenings. He probably drinks a little bit during the week when you're not around. But he's got 4 evenings to get through so he can get to his 3 days where he feels totally different about life.
You know,
I precisely understand that. That's exactly the way I feel about him.
Okay, like, now... No. Now, Jennifer, what I want you to do is that, you know, there's hospitals that that do treatment for alcoholism in your area, in Pittsburgh there. And I want you to call them and ask them if they have a speaker meeting. And the one that's closest to you, just go to the speaker meeting. And you go to the speaker meeting. How old are your kids?
One's 22, one is 17.
Okay, they're older. Take them with you, because it's the best education you can get about what we're talking about. And let your husband know you're going, and he's invited to come too, but what often happens is that the way you get to him is that you start to get educated. And when you start to understand what's going on, what Steve was just talking about, when you start to really understand the dynamics of that, the person who has the problem begins to realize, you know, my time is up. I can't fool her anymore. And maybe he begins then to say, well, let me find out what you're learning at those things, and he goes with you. I'd invite him to come, but you don't force him to come. But take your kids so that they understand, because that's part of your concern.
If you go to 2 or 3, you'll probably hear somebody say, you know, for a long time, I didn't understand what the problem was, people looking at me. I only drank on the weekends. And but then something happened, and I no longer felt the need to just drink on the weekends. And so it's just this. An alcoholic, no matter how hard they want to have 1 or 2 drinks, they can do that for a little while if they white-knuckle it, but they will always go back to drinking more than 1 or 2 drinks.
And then when they hit 7, eventually they hit 8.
Yeah.
And eventually they hit 9, because there's a progression to
it. There's an addiction that leads to tolerance, and that tolerance progresses upward. Now, if we hear the case of somebody who has a drink and becomes wildly intoxicated, that could be pathological intoxication. They don't need to be drinking either.
Yeah, sometimes you have a reaction.
Anyway, I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible to give to him. I'm going to send you my book, Walking Into Walls. I hope that will be a blessing to you. Here it is. I'm so proud of this book. I love this book. It speaks to the heart of people who are tired of walking into walls. Sometimes, you know, you hear about these young teenagers cutting themselves just to prove that they're alive, to feel something. And a lot of people are walking into walls, banging their heads into walls in many of the same ways. The pain of that over and over again helps them feel
Steve,
alive.
I have a quick comment.
Okay.
Just that, Jennifer, I want to make sure Jennifer and all those that are in Jennifer's category out there, that they understand how sad it is to be abandoned, if you will, on the weekend by this friend.
Oh, that's so true.
And that they're lonely because they basically have a spouse that is disconnected from the family.
Yeah.
They're not as attentive. He might be looser, quote unquote.
Yeah.
The other thing is that she could also go to Al-Anon as an ongoing type of a process to say, how do I deal with just living with somebody that has another friend in their life, and how do I deal with this? And so I would suggest that.
But the speaker meetings are really educational.
Sure.
You really learn about what's going on.
And Al-Anon is the fellowship. And
it helps you to deal with it.
And
helps you to deal with it.
Yeah.
And gives you support for that loneliness.
Yeah.
Now, she also said, I have a 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 15-year-old. And to get those boys or girls, educated about alcohol. Dave, I thought your point was really great, because education is the name of the game. Otherwise, kids grow up and they think, well, that's what dads do on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and so I think it's – I would just say those would be a couple of other things. And I would tell my husband how lonely I am. mm-hmm. and say, let's get into some couples work and work on our communication.
You know,
and if the alcohol is medicating a worry, a fear, or pain, that yeah. needs to be addressed too.
Absolutely, no matter how much they're drinking. But it's amazing how many young men I've talked to whose dad was an alcoholic, and they drank to prove that they could drink but not be like dad.
Yeah.
And they ended up right
eventually
where dad
they end
was,
up right,
right
there.
There. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling us. We'll get those books to you. Let's go to Anna from Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hello there. Anna? Anna, are you there? Anna, are you there?
Yes, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're going to have to jump into that phone. Speak up so we can hear you, because we can just barely hear you, okay?
Okay, is this better?
Oh,
so much better. Thank you. How could we help you today, Anna?
Okay, sorry about that. Yes, I have finished a two-year journey of divorcing a narcissistic sociopath that decided to leave the marriage after 15 years.
What? Tell me something that he did, just out of curiosity, that would lead you to believe he was a narcissistic sociopathic personality disorder.
He feels like he's done nothing wrong to end the marriage, even mm-hmm. though he moved in with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped paying all the bills, which meant I had four houses in foreclosure, and one of them was an 87-year-old tenant that had no family.
Okay, but before the divorce stuff came up,
I didn't know.
You didn't know?
I thought he was a very loving man.
Mm-hmm.
He showed his affection, although he was very controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I decided to go out with the girlfriends, he would start a fight.
Hmm.
And he isolated me. I see now that he isolated me from my friends and my family.
Wow.
And the whole divorce the last couple years has been horrible. And I was wife number three, and I'm only 40 years old, and he's the same age.
Mm.
So, I think I got him pinned pretty good.
Okay.
So,
what's the question for us? That? We understand your pain.
Okay. Well, I'm doing much better. But my problem is now I have two boys, 15 and 12.
15
and they're
and
12. Polar opposite. My youngest one is very clingy to me
mm-hmm.
and wants to be with me all the time and has absolutely refused to spend any time with his dad at all in the last 2 months.
Okay.
His dad's getting ready to get married to his mistress this weekend. And my older child, he is going to be the best man in his dad's wedding because he said that he wanted everybody to see how his son has supported him throughout this whole ordeal.
And what does your 18-year-old son think?
I'm sorry?
What does your oldest son think about being the best man?
He says no matter, he doesn't really want to do it, but it's still his father, and he feels obligated to do it. He's definitely a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hospitalized twice for suicidal ideology
since
the beginning of this divorce process, and his dad's definitely big-time manipulating. My youngest one kind of like sees things the way they are.
Right.
And he knows that this woman came in and between this woman and his father, they destroyed the absolute most, seemed like, you know, stable, safe family, situation.
All right. What is the question? What's the question for us then?
The question is, okay, my oldest son decided to move back in with his dad. And he wants nothing to do with me, and he's very disrespectful. He put his hands on me and pushed me twice and hit me. I had to call the police.
Good for you.
And
sorry you
he
had
ended
to do
up
that.
Calling the police on me.
Oh, dear.
And falsifying everything. And I'm sure he was motivated by his dad. But this is the thing. He's back with his dad, and he's not apologetic at all.
Okay, what's the question for us then?
On.
Okay, what's the question for us?
Thing. When do I stop pursuing my older son when he calls me names and everything? And when do I stop telling my youngest son to try to spend some time with his father?
Today.
Like I said, I got two polar opposites, and I don't know where that line is.
Yeah,
I'd stop today, Anna. I'd stop both today.
Okay. So I've told my youngest son, listen, I'll support you if you want to go to the wedding. I'll support you if you don't want to go to the wedding. Mm-hmm. I'll support you if you want to spend time with dad. I'll support you if you don't.
Yeah.
And I told that the same thing to my oldest son.
Okay, but you quit pursuing your oldest son because he'll wake up one day and you don't want to make him really just react against you.
Well, you don't want to be in his presence.
No.
He's dangerous.
Well, he's under his dad's influence. He's dangerous.
Right.
And with your younger son, he sees it clearly. Let him decide what he wants to do. He's 15. He's old enough to decide what he wants. And he doesn't have to be with his dad, and no court that I think in the country would make
honestly,
him be with his
he's
dad.
He's the 12-year-old that is in the state of Ohio. You have to be 16 to decide.
Well,
okay, so
I wouldn't don't force him.
Okay, so and then when we come back,
don't even encourage.
We'll talk to you about trying to help the younger kids not do the black and white thing, and that'll. You'll be able to help them with that. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Anna is still here, I assume, and we really do want to help you here. Mylan had some thoughts. Dave's got some thoughts there. Let's hear what they have to say.
Is it Anna or Anna?
Anna.
Okay, Anna. You know, how long were you married to this guy?
15 years.
Okay. Mm. So,
and his previous marriages, too, also ended in adultery.
Yeah.
We were 23 when we met.
Okay.
And
so
I ended up getting pregnant.
Okay. So. All right. So the bottom line here is, Anna, that you did hook up with a person that was narcissistic. He's also apparently womanizing, and, you know, he's not he is difficult to work with, okay? All you can do is be the healthiest person you can be. And validate the kid's emotions and be honest about your own emotions. And if your son's angry at you, somehow he's lashing out at you, you need to protect yourself, as Dave and Steve have said. For the youngest kids, if they're really afraid, you need to validate their anger, not just tell them what to do, but the 15 or 12-year-old need to be able to tell their dad they're afraid. And they need to be able to have some choices. And don't try and talk them into anything. Time will tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Whether they want to hang out and grovel at around the table of the narcissist and feed off the crumbs, or whether they're going to decide to say, no, I don't want to be manipulated like that. But they're easily manipulated because of their age groups right now. So all you can do is be honest and say, tell me how you feel, and then encourage them to be congruent with that behavior.
Hey, Anna, is the 18-year-old your son or his son?
Oh, wait, just a second.
I have the same father. I've only been married once.
But you've been married to him for 15 years, you said.
Right.
And you got an 18-year-old. Whose son is that?
No, 15-year-old and 12-year-old.
Oh, it's the 15-year-old that's
I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I misheard that also. I thought it was 18.
I thought that you had three.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, right. And the thing is that my oldest son is very manipulative as well. He's had he sounds just as narcissistic as his dad. He says he wants me to respect him in return for him to respect me. And I'm like, I'm the mother, and I need to trust you. And
he's
gone initially for a year and a half, and then he decided that he wanted to slit his dad's girlfriend's throat, and then he came back to live with me.
Mm. Okay.
And I laid out the ground rules.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
It's very difficult. It's always going to be difficult dealing with him.
You did the right thing with the ground rules, and back and forth doesn't work in this kind of situation. So if he's going to be with his dad, he needs to stay with his dad, like you said. And then you just protect yourself. That's the only thing you can do.
All right. I'll send you something so that you never get yourself in this situation again, and that would be Mylon's book, How We Love. And I'm going to send the accompanying book, How We Love Our Kids, to help you with your kids. It really will, I think, make a big difference. I'm going to take a moment to talk with Desiree from Gresham, Oregon. Desiree is a member of one of the most fabulous membership-only clubs called the Soaring Sisters. Hi, Desiree. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Nice to talk to you again.
Tell us about Soaring Sisters. How long have the Soaring Sisters been together?
Well, we just celebrated our six-year anniversary.
6 years. Wow.
Yeah. We met online at a Lose It for Life chat board.
Great.
And decided that we were soul sisters, and we have gathered three or four times in the middle of the country, so everybody could come.
I got to go to one of those.
Yes,
wow.
You did.
Yes.
The first one.
Yeah,
we were there.
That was exciting.
And now we have some traditions, like we have a Christmas tree, and we bring little gifts, and we just eat and laugh and cry and love each other.
Well, you know, you're all doing some great stuff, but how do we know that what you're doing really makes a difference in a person's life? Like,
well, without
you.
Their support, I could not have lost my weight.
And how much did you lose?
So far, I've lost 100 pounds.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, that is such great news. And over what period of time did you lose the 100?
Probably in the last 2 years.
2 years,
perfect. I went to Lose It for Life weekend, and when I got my head straight, learning to surrender and accept how much I weigh and just confessing to God that, you know, I wanted to be obedient to Him.
Mm-hmm.
It was the head transformation. So I began to define my week by obedience, not just a number on the scale.
Isn't that a great thing to hear? Okay, I'm going to use that. I apologize for not giving you credit for it when you see it in the book.
Oh, no worry.
No, that is really, you know, to define your weekend by obedience.
Yeah, define my
so
week
good.
By
week.
Obedience.
Week,
not
I mean.
Just
I'm sorry.
A number on the scale.
I was back there with the guy drinking. All right, but yeah, define your week by obedience. That is just really good. And so what do you say to somebody who might be thinking about coming to our Lose It for Life weekend in November?
Well, it's the only place I have found true transformation, that I am free and I can do this. And I thought being heavy made me stronger or more powerful because I had presence. But now I know that in God I have strength because I obey.
That is so good. Well, thanks for sharing your story. Please give all the Soaring Sisters my best.
You bet.
And I think here is an example of where Satan means something for evil, and now God's using you for good to inspire other people to get on the track. And you know, when you lose 100 pounds over 2 years, you've got enough time to develop some new habits new ruts to get into that are healthy ruts.
Yeah, so, I love fresh fruit.
Yeah, God bless you for sharing this with us. Anybody interested in Lose It for Life, you come join us. We'll help you with the it of why you're heavy. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and we really need your help. Please ask God if He is telling you maybe it'd be a good thing to support this program. For about $1 a day, you can become part of Club New Life and experience all the benefits, part of our giving family. We give you discounts. We send you a resource every other month. We send you every month a CD that I do just for you. It has a teaching on it. It'll have a couple of phone calls that we hope you didn't miss, interviews, update on the ministry.
You know, there's about 8 people listening right now that God is telling to call.
Right.
I just have a sense for that. Yeah. So quick call.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, 1-800-639-5433, and tell us, I want to be part of the New Life giving family. Join Club New Life. It really is an amazing. Do you know that every month, $170,000 comes in from Club New Life?
Wow. Hmm.
It is the foundation upon which this ministry rests. So come join us, please. And we'll give God the glory there. But if you don't, pray for us.
And that's not enough to cover all the radio.
Oh, calls. No.
So just
not
so
enough.
People understand that.
Yeah. Gary, Chicago, Illinois, listening on WYLL. Hello, Gary. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Sure.
Hey, I was going to, is Mylan listening?
He's right here.
Right here.
Mylan, you spoke with my wife a couple of months ago. She called your office and got you on the phone and was kind of complaining that you had broken up our marriage and that she didn't agree with what you said. You were doing a conference in Indianapolis. I don't know if you remember any of this. And you told her to come out and come on stage with you. And then you were kind of like, well, maybe I won't put you on stage with me. Because she was kind of arguing your point. You told her not to be a pleaser anymore. Do you recall any of that?
Actually, I don't, Gary.
Oh, okay. Anyways, well, I've got a two-part question. The one is relating to my wife, and she doesn't agree. I'm having a hard time, and maybe this isn't my responsibility, is getting her to see her part in our conflict. She doesn't think she's a pleaser. I know I'm an avoider, but I just she just doesn't seem to want to take any responsibility for her part in our struggles. My other question is, I know I'm an avoider, but I think I'm also, and this is going to be confusing, I'm a vacillator also. I feel like I'm a vacillator with my kids, and I'm a vacillator in general with my relationships with other men. I feel like I'm always putting expectations on and getting hurt easily when they don't approach me or I feel offended by something maybe they did or didn't do or I was just perceiving it. But I think I'm an avoider and a vacillator.
Okay. All right. Mylon, this is all over the map, actually. I mean, you want to start
with the... I know. Sorry about that.
So, Gary, what's your question? Help me out with a specific question.
Well, I guess if I was going to ask one question, it would be, how do I handle being an avoider with my wife and a vacillator with my kids and other relationships, like with other men and so forth at church? What would you suggest?
Well, it sounds to me as though if you're an avoider with your wife, you're running from her, which means you've somehow discounted her, or you've gotten to a point where you've dismissed her, or you've said I'm done with you, and perhaps you're done with her in some respect.
And could that be true that you've kind of
I think there is some truth to that.
Okay, what that means is if you're frustrated, you've sort of clicked her off, and she senses that, and she can't figure out why you show enthusiasm toward other people, but you don't show enthusiasm toward her, and she can get her feelings hurt with that, and she can feel as though, you know, you're no longer attentive, and it really hurts. So I would begin to really address what about your wife is causing you to want to pull away from her, and be honest with that and address that honest piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think my perception is she can say whatever she wants. I feel like whenever I say something, she kind of shuts down and gets quiet, won't talk.
Well, here's something that could radically change your relationship. While she's complaining about Mylon and the way she was treated and all this stuff, interrupt her and say, honey, that's not the real problem. The real problem is I've just kind of written you off. I've gotten fed up. I'm the problem.
Okay.
And I want to come back. I want us to come back together. Don't just leave her with that. I want us to heal. I'm no longer writing you off. I'm not writing off our relationship. I want us to have something here.
Mm-hmm.
See, that brings it back to the reality of what's really going on, which is what Mylon, I think, has done.
So how angry does your wife get, Gary?
You know, it's kind of a silent anger. She kind of withdraws.
Okay, but how often has she been getting hurt and withdrawing into that silent anger?
How often?
Yeah. How long has that gone on?
Well, see, I feel like it's been kind of ongoing. We've been married, 20 years, but it's really kind of come to a head probably within the last year or so.
Because
I feel like when I try to express what I'm feeling, she won't let me. And I feel like that's stopping us from getting closer and making that emotional connection.
Well, and oddly enough, that's more of a vacillator trait and characteristic. The ambivalently attached person can't hear criticism. They usually have lower levels of self-awareness. They're not introspective. They typically blame other people.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're asking her to do is own part of the equation, which is fair, but it's yet hard for people to do. So I would recommend you get in with a good couples counselor, if you can find one, and just say, look, I'm willing to work on my part, but I need you to work on your part too. And I think what Steve said is really germane. You know, I need you to hold up your end. You make me feel this way when I approach you. It's like, you can say anything you want. I can't say anything I want. So automatically, we have a lopsided relationship. You're in the up position, wife. I'm in the down position. And that never works.
And she'd probably disagree with that and say, no, I'm in the down position.
Sure, she might.
But that's why you need somebody to
come
in and work with you together. And, I wouldn't worry about what you are or what she is. I would say, you know, like Mylon was saying, we're not connecting, and we need to get help to do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do I improve my relationship with the men around me?
Be honest.
Get a couple.
Men?
Yeah, be honest with men.
Get a couple guys that you can be honest with and go deeper.
Man.
Oh, man, what?
Oh, it just seems so hard. I mean, here at work, I just.
Well, I don't think you do it at work. I think you find somebody at church.
What'd you just say, though? No, here at work, what do you do?
Well, no, I just, there's a bunch of guys I work with. There's, and it's just, I don't know, sometimes, like, I feel like I'm oversensitive at times. When I'm trying to make friends with them here at work, sometimes I feel like, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it.
Well, if you...
They kind of shun me.
Okay, if you determine to be honest and you say that that something bugged you and then they shun you, then there's some direct feedback on, well, maybe it's me and not the way normal guys are. Maybe I'm too sensitive. Let's find out the source of the sensitivity. Let's go back to how my dad treated me. How did your dad treat you?
He was pretty passive.
Passive?
There was really no relationship there.
Okay. So he didn't teach you how to relate to a man?
No, not at all.
Okay. So, I would say, like Dave just said, get a couple of guys in a group, and then you can process this. You can talk about, man, it just really hurt my feelings when that guy patted me on the back and said, loser. And then you say, well, and they, you can deal with it.
But I would get guys at church. I think when you're trying to do this with guys at work, there's too many other things going on at work, competition.
Well, he didn't say that. He just said at work he feels sensitive when people.
At church also.
Okay. But see, I would work on it with some guys from the church and do what Steve is saying there, not from work.
Now, Gary, what these guys at work and your wife have in common is they shun you. They shun you. Your wife does too. She shuts down and withdraws, which is a form of shunning you.
Which is a repeat of dad.
Which is a repeat of somebody, and we know that triggers you because you don't like that. You're sensitive. So it's occurring with your wife, and it's occurring with your other relationships. That sensitivity is important because your wife may not understand it, and maybe you might be tuned too hot there, you see. Mm-hmm. You're desiring too much of something, needing a lot of something that she doesn't have.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you called.
Oh, good info. I appreciate it, guys.
Okay. So have you read Mylon's book, How We Love?
Yes, I have.
That's how you know you're a vacillator. Let me send you Walking Into Walls. I hope that'll free up some stuff, open some doors for you. And anybody else interested, well, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, 1-800-639-5433. That's also the number to call. If you can help us, or if you need help, or you can go to the website at newlife.com. We'll be back after this for our final segment today on New Life Live. I hope you'll stay tuned right after this.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Milan Jurkovic. We're going to go to Carol. Carol is our final caller today. Sorry, a couple of you, we didn't get to you there. She's calling from Boston and listens on WEZE. Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
How could we help you today?
Yes, I have a 19-year-old, almost 20-year-old son who will be going to college this fall. He has ADD and really struggles most recently. Well, I've always struggled with self-control, but now it seems to be more difficult. You know, he doesn't seem to care about his body or safety. He eats crazy. He's smoking. He doesn't wear seatbelts, bike helmet, or any of that kind of stuff. But our biggest concern right now is he seems to be using a lot of pornography. We do have Safe Eyes on our computer, but he has figured out how to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're home, he's not on it. But if I'm ever gone, I go back and check history. And just yesterday, I just saw all kinds of porn sites that he was on.
Is he a drug dealer?
Pardon me?
Is he a drug dealer?
No.
Well, how does he get the money to do the cigarettes and pornography and beer, all the stuff he's involved with? Where's the money come from?
Well, you know, the pornography is free. You just go.
Well,
on
you got it, but you have to have a, you know, you have to have some kind of service that you're paying for monthly. You know, not for pornography,
I don't know,
but
I've
for the internet.
These sites to check them out.
No, I'm talking about internet.
Go
I'm
right on there
no,
for
no,
free,
no, 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 no. Hold on,
is.
Hold on. It's free, but you have to have an internet connection.
Oh, he's on our computer at home. He lives at home.
Oh, he lives at home.
He's 19.
And he smokes.
Yeah, he tells me it's once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, he would call himself a believer, goes to church, has Christian friends. He's working at a Christian summer camp this summer, going to a Christian college in the fall.
Well, he's done, here's what he's done. He's done a great job of giving you a problem rather than him having a problem. Because he's got it made. He gets to do everything he wants to do right there in the home and be supported totally by you while he goes to college. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah,
he doesn't
this
have
is what
a,
we're struggling with.
He doesn't have a problem.
You know, now, you know, my husband and I go back and forth. Do we, you know, send him off to school? He took a gap year because his ADD issues really were hard for him in terms of managing time and getting things in on time. So, you know, we all agreed that taking a year off would be the smart thing to do. You know, we feel like for him to be in college would be a very positive environment to be in.
Mm-hmm.
We have some friends right now who are all kind of in this hippie, let's hang out, smoke, and, you know, not do a whole lot. He is working full-time right
okay.
now.
What are you guys thinking here?
Well, I hear a kid who's doing 90% good stuff and 10% dumb stuff.
Okay.
And he knows how you feel about all this, Carol?
Yes, he does.
How both of you feel?
I think he's sick of listening to us.
Then,
you know, my big question is, as he's going to college, he thinks like every student who seems to have expecting a laptop. And, you know, when he is home, he is in front of the TV, and that's how he spends his free time at home. So, but the biggest concern is the pornography. And so I'm would really like advice on how to get him help with the pornography. You know, we've talked about it. I've encouraged him to read books about it.
Why doesn't your husband take him to an Every Man's Battle workshop and both of them go through it together?
Well, I was online yesterday looking at that. So that's something we'd have to get him to agree to do.
Well, you know, if you make the reservation, you make the reservation and you pay for it, and then you go to him, or your husband goes to him and says, I've got us signed up for this weekend thing. I want you to reserve that weekend. We're going to go to this Every Man's Battle thing and deal with some stuff. It'll draw us closer together, and it'll help us deal with the temptations and stuff that we deal with. And he says, no, I'm not going. He says, well, I've already paid. I've already made the reservation. If you want to live here, if you want my support, it's the...
No, if you want a laptop for college.
Yeah, laptop for college or something like that, you have to go do this. I can't give you. I wouldn't give you a car if I knew every time you drove it, it was 100 miles an hour. I would not do that. I can't give you a laptop knowing that you've never dealt with the pornography stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or don't understand even the dangers of it.
Mylon, your thoughts on this boy.
Carol?
Yeah?
Every 19-year-old male struggles with how to control their sexuality.
Right. I mean, it's just a very difficult environment these boys live in.
Well, hold on. Carol, listen to what Mylon's saying.
Carol,
hold on.
Carol, hold on. Do you really get that every 19-year-old struggles with that?
Well, I mean, I think intellectually, but with your own child, and you know he's, you know, he has ADD, which I, you know, I think makes it even harder for him with self-control.
So I'm asking you a question. Do you get that every 19-year-old struggles with this?
And the word every is underlined.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we do with our boys?
Well, okay, that's a question. What do we do with our boys? So what my wife and I did with our boys and girls, we talked to them about their sexuality all the time. Yeah. We talked about, you know, it's not about porn and the computer. The battle and the battle is not about the computer. The battle is for the mind. And so the battle is, you know, what kind of discussions are we having? I love your idea, Steve, because if dad and son go to Every Man's Battle Weekend, it gives them lots of room to begin talking
and
together.
And they will be able to talk about
everything. And
they
can talk about everything.
Once they talk about that.
But you see, Carol, your son also has a problem with impulsivity. And when we have problems with impulsivity, I don't know how not to go look at the porn, which is going to, if he goes away to college, you know, what's going to keep him from doing other things? And it's about the overall control of his life and his mind and regulating his emotions.
Yeah. And a Christian college doesn't
they won't help that.
It doesn't put up a barrier against those things. No.
I know. I was talking to somebody, a client from many years ago, who went to Christian colleges and struggled with pornography. And I said, did ever they talk about pornography in your Christian college? They said, no. Never had any meetings. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever talked to me about it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I hope that helps. I'm going to send you two copies of Every Man's Battle, and I'll send you one of the Bibles, Every Man's Bible. Maybe your husband can use that. But God bless you there. Get those men to go to that workshop. It could change everything.
Best thing could happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're glad you're with us here today. We're almost out of time. I want to remind everybody about the weekends that are coming up. One is the Lose It for Life weekend. Two, Women in the Battle, a great, great weekend. And three, Every Man's Battle every month. A guy may not ever go, but when a woman signs him up, pays the money, gets it taken care of, a lot of times he'll go ahead and go. And it doesn't matter if he goes angry or bitter or whatever. It's the job of those clinicians that go there to try to turn that around. Doesn't happen 100% of the time, but I bet it's 99% of the time. They get there, they connect with the other men, and things are different. So call us if we can help you with that. 1-800-639-5433 or 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Now, we need your help. If you can make a one-time gift to help us with this dreadful summer that always happens. Summer always happens. It's hard for us to go on vacation in summer because it's just such a difficult time for support. But maybe you could fill in, step in, and help somebody that drops out in August and comes back in September. Would you pray about it? Ask God, is this a ministry that's helping transform lives, a ministry that I could help, a ministry that you want me to help, Lord? And if the answer to that is yes, don't respond to me, but respond to God. Go to the website, newlife.com. You can give there, or you can call us at 1-800-639-5433. Those are the numbers behind the letters of 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. Always love being with you, Mylon. Thank you for what you do. Some great, great people here every single day, and these are the best. It's unbelievable that I get to be with them. And I'm glad I get to be with you. And I'll be with you again next time right here on New Life Live. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.